Multiverse Musings, the VidCast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Steven, a.k.a. Alfred Penguin.
Steven. Master Bruce.
Nice to be back with you.
I don't even have a tea tonight.
Oh, that's, I mean, what's going
drinking,
on with
you? I'm drinking blackcurrant juice, so...
Oh. It's not prune juice, is it?
No. This podcast is only going to be 30 seconds. And I'm gonna
It's good to be back with you. We've got quite a bit to discuss today, and the main focus of the show are going to be two reviews. We have Batman: Soul of the Dragon, the direct to a home video animated movie, and we've also got the season 2 premiere of Batwoman. That'll be our main topics.
It's going to be a very baptistic episode, Adam.
Yes, indeed. Which is why I have
Batman. I've gone for the Nightwing, so...
I'm still calling you Alfred, because...
It's a laundry day for Alfred, so I decided to wear it. He picked up one of Master Dick's old suits, so I'll just put that on for now.
Oh, there you go, see?
Still on the eye, then.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. You should iron as you do the podcast. It would be very thematically correct. Or making muffins. I know Donnie would get excited about that. He'd be happy. Besides the main potatoes of the show, we all of course have news, and as always, our usual segment. So, Stephen, what have you been watching?
So I'm actually going to cheat a little bit because I haven't mentioned this and I watched it like a couple of weeks ago, but I watched Wonder Woman Bloodlines. Have you seen that one yet?
I have not. I'm waiting until the review gets closer so I can watch
it. I won't dive too deep into it because we'll obviously do a review at some point, but I was really impressed with it, and it was better than the Wonder Woman, was it 2009, which I thought was really good as well. I thought this was better. I thought it was a better version of it. Really enjoyed it. I had a cool little cliffhanger at the end, but knowing what's happened in that universe, I was a bit like, you kind of set that up for nothing. But it was good. I'd highly recommend it to people. I think that animated line ended like two movies after that. I think there was two more in that lineup, and then that was I can't quite remember, yeah. But
it's over.
It was good. Enjoyed it. So that's pretty much all I've been watching. As last time I said, I was watching that Not Going Out, that Lee Mack comedy. We're still working his way through that because there's like 10 seasons of it. So
cool.
But yeah.
No, I watched due to the was it the 55th anniversary of Batman 66.
Yes, I think Holy Batcast did an episode, didn't they, on it?
Yeah, they did an episode, and I watched those two episodes.
All right, cool.
In honor of the anniversary. I didn't listen to the podcast. I will. I love Holy Batcast, but I'm behind on my
I sent him an email, so you'll want to watch it. Yeah. I'll listen, should I say, not watch it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start sending him questions, I think. I'm going to pull the trigger on it. I'm going to say, from the first question to the last, but we'll see. So I watched the first two episodes and I thought, you know what, me and Steven should at some point review that show.
I think that definitely would be
fun to do. So I watched that in honor of that. And you know what, once you put yourself in that mind frame and put yourself in that, space and time, you can really have a lot of fun with that show. And I had a lot of fun. And man, I love that Batmobile. It's just... my second favorite Batmobile,
Yeah, do you know? It's probably mine as well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't done Batmobile ranking. We're not going to say which one it is. We're going to save that for a ranking. You like rankings. I know you like rankings. So we're going to do a ranking. Batmobile ranking.
Still got to do our Alfred Pennyworth ranking.
That's cool. Next, I know, yeah.
I'll have to do that.
But maybe. I can't put you on the list, Stephen, because you weren't in any live-action media. So
maybe I'll have to make something with my... my brother.
I think you should make something with your brother about Alfred making muffins.
I'll make it like an action shot, so something happens, he's baking muffins in Wayne Manor, and then...
yes, I think you should.
Someone tries to rob Wayne Manor.
I'll send a video, like a recording via Zoom, like I'm in the Batcave, And, you know, I mean, what, it worked for Zack Snyder. He did the Flash thing.
Yes, which, he did.
So why can't we? So, yeah, you know.
He won't even be able to tell it wasn't even in the same room, probably, or so.
Yeah, with the Flash, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we'll do Alfred first, and then the Batmobile ones, for sure. But that's something. But yeah, that's what I've been watching. Or that's what I watched.
Wait, so we get to our Jimmy Olsen rankings. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, Fimmy's
in. Fimmy's in. Yeah, I think we kind of got to put him in, don't we?
We have to, because he was the Jimmy Olsen of record.
And then you've got to put in the one that died in Batman vs. Superman after like 3 seconds. Right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's at the very top of many lists.
Well, they're one of the top of Zack Snyder's.
Yeah. We might as well swap him out for Jenny, because she's essentially... Yeah. That universe is Jimmy.
Yeah, which is funny, because I've got the Man of Steel. Is that the art of, or the pre? I don't think it's called that, but it's called something like that.
And in it
says she's Jenny Olsen, but she isn't. She's called like Jenny Jurek or something. And I don't know if the guy who did the, because sometimes you find the people who do the books and stuff don't always talk to the filmmakers.
Or maybe Snyder changed his mind and said, screw it, I'm just going to make her.
Well, yeah, but the funny thing is, I'm pretty sure it's got a picture of her with a press pass, and a press pass doesn't say Olsen, it says Jurek or something. Okay. Yeah. And she's quite hot, so. I'd rather be friends with her than Jimmy.
She's on the list. Oh, yeah, me too. Screw Jimmy. Jimmy, go to Africa or Zimbabwe or wherever the hell it was. Take your camera. Good luck.
I think it was Africa, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And not the Toto song.
Yeah.
Dum bum bum.
No, I mean, that's what. Listen, that put Aquaman over the billion. There's no doubt about it. It needs to be in every DC movie now. Like the Batman.
Yeah.
Like the Batman. You know, when he's building the suit. They put the
ocean to us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's overlooking the ocean, and I guess there's no ocean in Gotham City. The harbor. You know, the song. And then Black Adam, I mean, in the middle of Kandak, where there's all deserts, just played for the hell of it.
Now maybe they're in a big fight scene and it just stops just for the song to start playing.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So anyway, that was a good segment.
I'd consider putting it in if I was the DC people.
Yeah, why not? It'd be funny. Make me laugh. So ready for news?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Titans Season 3 has cast Savannah Welsh, I assume it's pronounced Welsh, that's how I'm pronouncing it, as Barbara Gordon. Savannah she's an amputee, so they said they were going to cast someone with a disability, and they've like lived up to that, and there's a little like description as well, so... it says in season three, Gordon is Gotham City Police Commissioner. Do you know what? Off air, you told me she was commissioner, and I didn't know, and I wrote this note. I think I just put it in. Anyway, this is from Variety, by the way. It's not from
the Cultured Nerd. Damn it, those guys are so spot on. I thought it would be.
I'm pretty sure with them, we got this covered that scooped it first, though. So, in season three, Gordon is Gotham City Police Commissioner. She used to be Batgirl until she was shot and paralyzed by the Joker, leaving her wheelchair bound. She has a combative relationship with Bruce Wayne. Her life gets more complicated when Dick Grayson returns to Gotham, rekindling their old romance and starting a new crime-fighting partnership. Interesting. And she's going to be facing off, and she's apparently got... Does anybody have a good relationship with Bruce Wayne in this show?
Nobody likes me on this show.
Like, Dick Grayson wanted to kill him, and then it turned out Dick was like, yeah, I was kind of being a dick.
So... Well, he was living up to his name, right?
Yes, yeah. And then now apparently she... Which, then again, if you go to Batman Beyond, they have that kind of relationship in that where she's kind of like... She almost looks back on her Batgirl days as like, you know, we were idiots, you know, type thing. Where
yeah, she's commissioner in that, right?
And I think given she gets paralyzed by the Joker, yeah, she is, yeah. I think that gives a kind of a bit of risky Dick Grayson were kind of just being a douchebag. She's kind of got a real reason to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. If you were paralyzed by the Joker, and you were a costume vigilante, would you be all gung-ho in your memories of that time period? Yeah.
So, because obviously she's an amputee and she's got one leg missing, it makes me think, do you reckon, he shot her in the leg or something, and that rather than the back.
You told me off air that she wears the prosthetic in other things she's been in.
Oh yeah, she does. Yeah, yeah, but she's in a wheelchair in this because it said on the.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if the actual prosthetic leg will be a factor at all, and they'll just say, well,
right, okay, you
know, she's already in the wheelchair, so I mean the fact that she
it won't be a factor is what you mean.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, and it could not. Either way, yeah. I'm fine with it. But I like the fact that they said they were going to cast somebody with a disability, and they stayed true to that.
Yeah.
And being somebody with a disability, I'm happy with the representation. Mm. And being a role like this, a high profile, I think it's going to be really.
And she's
cool.
She's worked a lot as well. She's not just done little bit parts. She's done some big roles and stuff. So
yeah, like I've never seen her in anything.
No, I've not either. But yeah, she's in that Boyhood or something.
There's a video of her training with the sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
And looks pretty cool. And you know, side note, because I'm sure Donnie is wondering as he's listening to this while he's working, is she's on the list basically of just the picture. So I'm excited by this.
Do you know, I've just thought of something, right? So, new crime-fighting partnership. What if, when she's commissioner, she's still in the wheelchair, but she puts a prosthetic leg on to go out and fight crime? So it's kind of like that's her cover.
Well, it could be, maybe.
Something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, we heard about Barbara Gordon. I'm pretty sure they said they were going to cast Lex Luthor at some point as well, but that's kind of gone a bit quiet. Or I don't know if it was kind of like the Scarecrow is going to be in Batwoman, and now you're kind of thinking maybe he isn't. But we'll get to that.
Sure, obviously. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that
he's going to be in Titans, apparently. Though.
He's gonna, and that's why he's probably not in Batwoman. Yeah. Is my guess.
Even though there's no embargo anymore, they'll still pick and choose. Right, should we move on then?
Yeah, but solid casting, and I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Definitely, she looks the part as well. Like,
just absolutely, yeah.
Outside Barbara Gordon. So this was kind of a bit of a surprising piece of news. It was during the Batwoman premiere that it kind of got, I say announced, it was a little like blip, a little blurb that came up. So Superman & Lois is going to be a 2-hour premiere event now, which originally it was going to debut with The Flash on the 23rd of Feb. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about this, and Pagey was saying he thinks it's probably episodes 1 and 2 back to back, which is what I kind of think it is. I don't think they've done a 90-minute premiere pilot, which I wish they had done because I kind of missed those long pilots. But it sounds like The Flash was delayed. Although this is the thing, actually, they were saying The Flash has been delayed because of COVID, but then they're saying actually that it's nothing to do with that because apparently this new COVID thing hasn't really affected filming. So
yeah.
I don't know if maybe it's almost we'll give Superman & Lois a big debut, and then The Flash, they were thinking, well, you know, if S hits the fan, we've got some to fall back on, because I think it was Matt Pedowitz was talking about they might have to make some alterations here.
He was talking about how like something like The Flash would probably be cut an episode because so that they could be ready to start filming the next season and give the cast a bit of a break, because apparently they didn't go home for Christmas. The cast,
no, they didn't.
The Flash.
No.
So
I get the feeling by the time we hit fall, they want everything back to normal in essence, so
yeah, it's normal
all the shows to be on season 2, you know, that can be. So I'm sure with like Supergirl, they're not as fussed because Supergirl's gonna finish and be done, so they don't have to kind of pause that. So
I don't think it's anything to be worried about in terms of The Flash.
No, I don't either, but again, I'm quite excited. It's 2-hour premiere event, back to back episodes, and I love that because they kind of did the same thing on Smallville with the first 2 episodes, and it kind of feels fitting in that regard. So yeah. So, anything else to add?
Oh, I'm excited for it, and it's going to be nice to have Superman back on our screens on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
And I also want to wish, as of this recording, I don't know when this will be up, but as of this today, as of we're recording, it's Bitsy Tolik's birthday. So happy birthday!
That beginning, I forgot.
Lois Lane, and I've been a fan since she was on Grimm, and I think she's an amazing Lois Lane, so happy birthday.
Me too, yeah. Happy birthday, Bitsy. Yep, so moving on to, this is a rumour, but it's kind of a strong rumour. we kind of have a little bit of a different thing on it, but we'll get to it when we get to it. So this was on Fat Man on Batman. So Matt Bernardine.
Fat Man Beyond, actually.
Fat Man Beyond, sorry. Fat Man Beyond. So
it's not my fault. He changed the name of the show.
Yeah, true. Do you know what the worst thing? My notes say Fat Man Beyond.
It's not my fault you can't follow your own notes off or what's going on here.
That's why
when I asked for pizza, I've got a bit of muffins. Yeah, listen, I asked for pizza the other night and you gave me that cold soup again. I don't know what's going on with this bullshit.
So anyway, Matt Bernardine was saying he's heard rumours that Batman the Animated Series is going to be coming back on HBO Max, and Kevin Smith kind of said, he sort of like covered his mouth because he knows something.
Yeah.
And said he said it from a very reliable source that it is coming back, which you were speculated it could be someone, which I'll get to in a minute. The only reason I'm taking this rumor to take all rumors. I wait for official confirmations before getting excited. But if I were going to put money on it to happen, I'd put money on it to happen. So I'll add that there.
Yeah.
It's just that I know Kevin Smith sometimes jumps the gun a little bit, so it kind of makes me feel a bit like. It could be in very, very early process, you see. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
I'm not saying, and even Kevin says, you know, it's not necessarily 100% confirmed or everything's signed. But here's why I'm taking this as a little bit more legitimate, I guess I would say, as being closer.
Not like it was printed by TCN or...
Yeah, closer to a reality than not. And here's why. Because, first of all, just logically, it makes sense. If you're Warner, if you're HBO Max, you have that show, which is one of the best animated series of all time. Let's call it what it is, and you can bring that back and basically pick up where the last episode of Batman the Animated Series left off.
Yeah,
and not have to explain anything away because guess what? It's animation. The characters don't age.
Mm. Right.
So there's that. The second thing is, you're right, sometimes Kevin Smith gets carried away. Like when he heard from that fan who saw a test screening of Zack Snyder's cut and there was a... Here's the difference with that. Kevin Smith said he'd heard it from somebody who would be in a position to know. Kevin Smith is also working on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which we will cover on I Have the Power, a He-Man podcast. We will be getting back to that. It's in the planning stages, folks. So that show hasn't gone anywhere. So and we will be doing more of that. But so on that the He-Man show that he's doing, he's, you know, producer and directing and all that jazz. He's working with two stars of Batman the Animated Series, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. Yeah. My bet is one, if not both of those two, were the ones that he's been talking to.
Yeah, I think probably, like I said, if I was putting money on it, if you said put 10 quid on this happening, I'd put 10 quid on it. Because
I
thought they should have done this years ago, to be completely honest with you. I don't know why they've not done it sooner. Because you could even bring it back in a different format. So like it's 10-minute episodes or something. You know, you don't have to bring it back as it was. So I've always thought, like, why have they not just pulled the trigger on Batman the Animated? And then given there was Justice League Unlimited as well, I think there's more scope to kind of bring in other DC characters.
Oh, I think bring crossover. I think bring back both of those.
Well, I was going to say, do you think possibly this could lead to maybe JLU coming back? Because you could run them side by side. You have Batman's on Adventure of the Justice League, or he's on Adventures with Robin, Nightwing, and Batgirl. Do you know what I mean? There's ways to do it.
Yeah, this might be
the first step in that happening.
To me... With Warner Brothers, your live action film division is starting to gain momentum and steadily, you know, critical successes and box office successes. You've had a steady string of success, but you're still working on some kinks. Where you've had the most success is Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited.
And Batman Beyond.
And Batman, but to me, Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond are one big story.
Yeah, because it's a continuation of that.
The best iteration of Batman outside the comics, and I stick by that. So my suggestion is, you've got HBO Max, bring that back. It's not going to cost you $70 million to bring those back.
And well, don't you think?
And you don't have to make quotes about being a cul-de-sac and all that. So I bring back that, and I bring back, because you have this Green Lantern show, bring back Green Lantern, the animated series, while you're at it, too.
I'd love that to come back. And that was a Bruce Timm show as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, to me, like, it's common sense. You bring back your successes. You don't bring back stuff that you want to sort of move away from. It's like, to me, it's common sense.
I think as well, it's one of those for me where it's, you know, given the pandemic era, it's almost like makes more sense to do stuff like this because you can do it without having people having to. They can do voice work from home. They don't have to come into it.
Yeah.
It's probably a relatively easy show to make, whereas the live action thing's a bit harder. So
yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot of reasons to do it. I think there's more reasons. But like I say, I'm shocked this hasn't happened sooner because the last Batman animated was that Beware the Batman, and that was, God, what was that? It was like 6-7 years ago or something. It was a long time ago.
At that point, I'm surprised. Right.
I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan of that show, but there's always been a Batman show, and it kind of feels weird that there ain't one at the minute. I mean, I suppose technically Harley Quinn, you know, the Harley Quinn show.
Yeah, but that's not the same. I mean,
and that is
a great show.
I love it.
Love it. Can't wait for more.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
No. But I think I wouldn't be shocked, though, like I said, you know, the format thing I was talking about. I wouldn't be shocked if it came back in a little bit of a different format.
I don't care if they're 12 or 15 minutes or a full 22, whatever you want to do. Just make the animation similar to what we're used to. Mm. Don't make it that. What's that called? Thundercats Prime? What is it called? That garbage?
I know what you're talking about.
That Thundercats reboot garbage.
It would be good to see it come back.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and if they bring JLU back as well, I'll be even more ecstatic because I love Deadpool. To be honest, the DCAU is my favorite DC universe, I'll be completely honest.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the most... Yeah, exactly. Outside of the comic books, that iteration of the universe, for me... And apparently for you, is the best. Yeah. Sorry, that's our opinion.
What's my favorite version of Superman? Superman the Animated Series?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the Justice League as well. Like I said before, you know, because obviously Mortal, Justice League Mortal was going to be... It was almost, apart from Hawkgirl, they put Aquaman in. It was pretty much that lineup, you know, that original lineup. I'm like, there's a reason it was going to be that lineup. And I'm like, if they ever reboot...
Because back then... The producer was smart and said, well, let's see. John Stewart is the Green Lantern that general audiences know the most.
And I think Common would have been a really good John Stewart as well.
I think he would have put, I mean, it's a lot better than Tyrese campaigning to be John Stewart. Listen, Tyrese, stop it. Nobody gets jobs when they campaign like that. Don't you know by now? You've been in Hollywood long.
Yeah, has there been one that's been successful?
It never works. Stop it.
Chris Pringle with the Joker didn't happen. Although I think he'd have been a really good Joker, to be fair.
Yeah.
You had... who's the other one now? There was that guy from the Batman, wasn't there? He's a comedy actor. What is his name? He's in that that Pixels film.
Who, for Batman, you're talking about?
Yeah, he wanted to play the Penguin. What the hell? He does those...
Josh Gad.
Yeah. Which, again, I'd have given him a shot if it had been cast, but it's one of those, like you said...
It never works.
You know what it is? It's like fan casting when they go, we'll cast him because he looks...
Yeah.
Here's what happens.
Here's how it works. Pattinson wanted the role of Batman, so he called Matt Reeves and said, let me test. And if I stink up the joint... We'll call it a day and move on. You go in for a test. That's how it happens.
Yeah, it doesn't
happen by
some fan casts do happen. I remember Christian Bale was a big...
Yeah, but they didn't do it because the fans wanted it.
No.
Because Nolan... My favorite story is when Nolan told Ashton Kutcher to get acting lessons. That's my favorite of the whole bunch. these fan casts... Please cast me, you know, routines. They never work. My suggestion, going back to John, just off a little bit of a tangent, when we get a new iteration of Justice League in live action, and make no mistake, eventually, in about 5 or 8 years, I think Warner Brothers is going to push the reboot button on Justice League. do the right thing, Warner Brothers, and use the lineup from the animated series.
Yeah,
especially Jon Stewart. We don't need no Cyborg. You save yourself a lot of headache if you get rid of somebody named Cyborg that plays Cyborg. And I'm not talking about Jovian Wade, because that kid, the only thing I like from that ridiculous Doom Patrol show, in my opinion, is Jovian Wade. And you know, the bits I've seen him in, I haven't watched season 2 or 3, whatever it's on, and I have no desire to start. But because eating hair is where I draw the line. But to me, there's a, and I get it. I totally agree that there should be a diverse members in the Justice League. I'm 100% behind that. But you have people that have been leaguers in the sense of Jon Stewart, Green Lantern, and even Black Canary. If you really want to, hey, listen, you want to make, what's her name, Journey Smollett-Bell, you want to give her another role because she was fantastic in Birds of Prey, draft her up into the Justice League. Cyborg is a glorified Titan as best, and let's leave him there. That's my recommendation.
I say when they reboot the Justice League, if they're not going to use, which I don't think they will, Pattinson,
yeah,
do it, treat it like Mortal was doing when it was not the origin of the team, because they all knew each other in that, but that lineup. So I say Catherine Silver Younger, so you can get more films out of them.
Yeah.
And then spin off from there. Like, that's your first film.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all the... Because some people always talk about they're building up the solos. You don't have to do that, because did X-Men do that?
Yeah. No, you can... Look, the reverse
of just got Marvel, to tell a good story. That's all you've got to do.
The reverse of Marvel can work.
Mm.
It's just got to be done, like, planned, coordinated.
Yeah.
And done properly. So what I'm saying is, let these contracts run out. Let these, you know, do your Shazam 2 and 3.
Aquaman 2.
I don't think we're going to get more than Black Adam 2, because let's be honest, with the Rock schedule, we'll be here until 2045.
Well, I think Black Adam 2 will probably be the Shazam fight, so I'm possible with Superman as well.
Yeah, or it'll be Black Adam 2, or no, sorry, Black Adam and then Shazam 3, and then close that off. Mm. Aquaman 3 is probably likely, assuming that 2 doesn't crap the bed and do terrible.
Well, I don't see why it would, because the first one was massive.
No. I'm just hypothetical.
Yeah.
So Aquaman 3 is probably likely. Wonder Woman 3, let's be honest, that's going to be the bull on it. So do all those films. Give Matt Reeves' trilogy, which is the worst kept secret in Hollywood. I'm thinking by 2027, Matt Reeves' Batman trilogy will be. Probably done on its last film, and while that's being released, you start putting. So by 2027 or 2028, I think the time is ripe to have a Justice League film in theaters by one of those 2 years, and at that point, it should be a reboot of the universe.
And do you know what I'd call it? It's called JLA. It's called JLA.
Or the Justice League, because you know the. Is,
The Justice League.
Yeah. So that's my.
We went on a bit of a tangent from Batman.
That's my me there, pretending but... to be. That's me pretending to be Walter Hamada.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Right then. So moving on to movies. So David Ayer revealed a brief snippet of Jared Leto's Joker, and it was on a day when the fans were pushing for the release the haircut campaign. It was a pretty cool clip, and it was Jared Leto's Joker saying, "You should be ashamed of yourself." I believe it's going to be in the scene which wasn't in the theatrical, where he confronts Harley because she decides to stay with the squad. Yeah. I think this is well known. Now, David Ayer started off a bit like Snyder, where he started off with the black and white images, the colour images, and now he's got footage. I think he's probably working on it, because he said, I think it was a couple months ago, he didn't have access to that cut. So it makes me think, someone must be in the works, because why?
I think that'll happen, and then that'll be it for the Snyderverse.
That's why I keep saying yes. So like this will be the last like branch of the Snyderverse. You know, the pure Snyderverse is what I mean, because technically it still carries on with the other films. But
they've branched off into their own universe.
Yeah. Because for me, I think it'd be stupid not to do this, because it's more content for HBO Max. It's something they've got available. I don't think it's going to cost any money or a lot of
money.
It won't
cost what Justice League costs.
Because I'm pretty sure he said he had it done, didn't he? I think he said he had it done. So for me, I think they just need to get the reel out of the thing and maybe polish a few things up and there they go. So I really want to see it. I get the fit because I think we were robbed of Jared Leto's performance in the theatrical. Yeah. And that's the reason I want to see this, because I want to see...
Yeah, this, to judge him properly. Yeah.
And I think even in this clip, he came across a lot better, like, with his voice and his mannerisms than he did in some of the other stuff. Like, I believe, and I'm not having a spelling out here, you know the scene where she falls out of the helicopter? I believe in the original cut, he pushed her. So right. I don't know what the exchange was.
And this looked like she, in the theatrical, looks like she fell.
And then there's that scene where he goes to see that doctor guy, then he was doing the bombs, and he just basically shoots him in the neck with that thing, and that's it. Whereas in the trailers, he's like, I can't wait to show you my toys. And I'm thinking, well, there's obviously a lot more to his performance that they cut out. Yeah. And I believe they did some reshoot stuff. Then he basically just got to say this line. So maybe I think that's why his performance wasn't. If you don't like his Joker, I'm not saying it's going to fix his Joker for you. But for me, I don't think it's fair to judge the man on the theatrical cut when we have
absolutely
full performance. So. Again, I think it's going to happen. I think it is happening. How else has he got this clip? Because he didn't have access to it. So,
agreed.
Yeah. And then last bit of movie news before we move on to a movie review is the Zack Snyder confirmed via Vero, because that's where he confirms everything these days.
Yeah.
That Justice League is a one shot and it's 4 hours long without credits. So this caused a bit of a stir online. I think there's been some people have, like Mario, for example, have expressed how they were kind of more excited about it being a series because they wanted to kind of watch it that way. And they actually, I think he also said he thought it would be better for the product, where then you've got some people who are doing the, oh, it's 4 hours, almost like they kind of want to have a go at it. But then you've also got the people who are being sarcastic about people who are like what Mario's saying. And it's like, well, if you actually listen to what he's saying, he's actually making a lot of sense. Because, I mean, I'm glad it's a 4 hour thing because I just want to watch it all in one go. But I don't think you can say watching a 4 hour film is the same as watching 4 episodes of Daredevil, for example, because it's not. TV shows are paced differently. Like, I could watch an entire season of Friends in one day, but it's 20 minute comedy episodes that end like that. And you, whereas this is, for me, and for me as well, the other thing I'll say, and I think Ryan said this online, it was intended to be a film, so it should be a film. And I kind of agree, because it's not, it wasn't made to be a series. If you're going to convert it to a series, you kind of making it not work. Do you know what I mean? Am I making sense?
No, it makes sense.
I understand what Mario said, and I kind of get his point. The people who are kind of being on these sides, just being tossers to each other, I just think, get a grip and stop arguing.
For me, look, several things. For me, first of all, this whole back and forth and all this stuff is giving me a headache. And I've gotten to the point where, listen, if you're going to watch this thing, you're going to watch it. If you wanted to watch it from before, you were going to watch it, whether it was a film, a series. It may be harder to watch as a four-hour thing. Mm. It may disrupt it because you got to pause it.
I do think there's something to be said that you can pause it, though.
It may disrupt the flow if you're going to pause to take a
leak. Yeah, of course it will. Yeah.
It is what it is. But I'm at the point with this whole thing where whatever format it is, here's my stance, because I'm so annoyed with the, oh, it's going to be the best thing in the history of cinema, or, oh, it's going to be the worst thing since the, you know, diarrhea and vomiting combined, or, you know, or somewhere in the middle. I'm tired of it all. Here's where I'm at. I want to watch this thing, I guess, in a four-hour block, and I'll pause to take a leak if I have to, or whatever.
Make a cup of tea?
Well, sure. I can have you send it via Star Trek teleporter. I just want to watch this thing.
Yeah, you need a way, Adam.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to watch this thing. I want to come on here with you and maybe Donnie or somebody else and review it, and then be at peace with whatever it is. Whether I like it or don't like it, I'll say one way or the other. Mm. I'll put it in my ranking somewhere, and then I'll say, there it is. There's the Snyderverse. it's done. I've said my piece, and now let's move the hell on. That's where I am. I've had it up to, look, I got no hair, and part of it's because I shaved it. Part of it's probably because this whole situation.
I'm going gray, Adam.
Yeah, well, it's all this Snyder cut stuff. I've had it up to here. The fact that I've gotten to a point where I'm talking about a Justice League product, and I just want to see it to in part get it over with. So me being the fan that I am tells you all you need to know about the situation. Let's just see it and get it going and get it over with. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about it, but the fans online, you just go on and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, it makes it a drag.
Did you see I quote tweeted Scott Mendelson the other day? And I put...
Oh, he's a goof.
Did you see what I put? So he was having a joke, but I don't...
Well, I make the Martha joke too, but it's a different, yeah.
I think we can because we're cool with it and we watch it and stuff. But what I'm saying is, he didn't do that to be funny. He did it to poke. He knew they were going to come at it. So I just sarcastically put, oh, Scott Mendelson's figured out time travel. It's 2016 again. Literally, like, ever since, and I was talking to a guy online that I talked to a lot, in DMs and stuff. And I was saying my favorite time as a fan was that build up to Man of Steel. And then it was literally like I came online. It was that Troy gif, you know, where he walks in the room and everything's on fire. It was like that, and it was like suddenly like people were fighting, and I feel like since 2013 to now, people are just fighting over these movies, and I'm kind of like, if you like it, enjoy it. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Like, I was saying this about the Batwoman thing, you know, if you don't want to watch it, just don't watch it then. It's simple as that.
Like, look, my stance is this. I'm going to watch it. I'm a DC fan, so I give everything that DC puts out, you know, one view.
Yeah.
My trepidation, and I'll be honest with you here, you know, I've come around to BVS. There are still things that I'm not fond of that movie. My concern with Zack Snyder's Justice League is that it's just going to be BVS on super steroids. If that's the case, I'm going to be disappointed, because to me, Justice League's got to be something that's four quadrant. I'm sorry, but a Justice League film has to be a four quadrant affair.
I don't know if it's quite going to meet the four quadrants, but
it's And my fear, and I've said this all along, everybody's like, "Oh, Steppenwolf looks so much cooler than he does in his theatrical." To me, this comic reader that I am, Steppenwolf doesn't need to look like an alien, like a monster. No, I'm sorry. Steppenwolf's look was not a problem with the theatrical. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, everything's so better just because it's Snyder. We don't know that.
Yeah, do you know what, right? I'll just bring this up now, because, like, I've watched the LLU trailer like a million times. That Steppenwolf looks all right to me. Like, it's, you know, he's a spiky MF, as I keep saying, which is quite... But that image, did you see that image you posted today with the... It was Killed the Atlantean, and I thought that was so cool. You know, but Darkseid looks great, I think. I think Darkseid looks amazing. Yeah.
But Darkseid should look like Darkseid.
But Steppenwolf is kind of a bit like... But I'm glad it matches the BVS moment, you know,
it has to match that. I understand that.
But, you know... Yeah. I'll just say this about Justice League, why I think it's going to be different to BVS as well, right? I mean, BVS, for me, actually gets... I enjoy it more every time I watch it, but it is a long... You know, it's one of those films where it's in a bit of an event and you kind of have to... Justice League is going to have so much cosmic stuff going on. And again, like, I've talked to you, like, I'm not really that big on the Cyborg character, but I think the stuff he's going to have in the film with... Because he's going to be taking you through the Mother Boxes stuff and all that. I think he's going to... That's going to be his part in the film, basically.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play an important role in that respect. I think there's going to be that much going on. Like, I think the history lesson in this is... I mean, I like the history lesson. I think there's just going to be that much going on and that much cosmic stuff. It's going to feel completely different to BVS, because BVS was about a superpowered being fighting a human, and then you had sort of... I mean, it kind of went a bit crazy at the end, but that's my favorite part of BVS.
My concern is, again, mainly with Superman, because
Yeah, yeah. What'd you
the
say?
Idea just, that he's going to be in a black suit...
I can live with it. I don't see why it needs to be in a black suit, because we talked about this off air.
It's not just about the suit. It's about the tone of the character.
If
85% of the film is him in the same mood that he is in, like, the Nightmare Vision or when he's fighting the League. I mean, look, that fight scene, a 20-minute fight scene is cool, but if I got to watch Superman that miserable for 80% of the movie...
I don't know. I think
these are just my concerns. What I'm saying.
But I think with Superman, I think he's going to have a different arc in this, because I think he's going to have that. He's going to try, because he's going to lose his. I think he's going to have lost like his memory and stuff. Because we saw, I mean, that scene where he fights his League, and I think it's going to be even better than Zack Snyder's. Because I think what we'll probably get is a different arc of him, because he's kind of rediscovering himself. But we have what gives me hope is that shot of the Justice League together. He's very happy in that. And have you seen the storyboards for the first flight redone, we'll call it?
Technically,
it's not first. He's smiling in those. I think. And again, I'm not saying, and again, before people, oh, you just want Reeve, right? It's not about him smiling, but it's about him giving off a mood that he's not.
Yeah, it's a hopeful feeling.
Yeah, whereas, like you say in BVS, there's those moments like, nobody says good in this world, and he's like, when he flies off, you know.
Yeah, that's where my worry is, because there were rumors about, you know, for the whole of part two, he was going to be consumed by the anti-life equation.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I gotta tell you, that's going to disappoint me.
Well, I don't think two's going to happen. So.
Well, no. You weren't going to see him be the hopeful Superman until at least two is what.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think
that's where my concern comes in.
I kind of want. Do you know what? Right, I've kind of come around on the five film. I wish it had just been a five film arc, and there'd have been no spin offs or anything, and they'd have just done it. Because I feel like it would have been like our Lord of the Rings, like DC's Lord of the Rings, and I think that would have been kind of cool. And I think if DC had have embraced the multiverse back then, I think we'd have been in a different boat, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, it is
a shame, but I'm just glad it's coming. Because the theatrical cut, well, we're going to be doing a commentary on that, by the way. I do like it. There's just so many, like, the lip thing just bugs the shit out of me. Whenever I watch it, I'm just like, why, you know, could they not delay this? Because if they delayed the film, I think the film would have been in a much better state, because they'd have been able to spend a bit more time on it and stuff, and get the actors back a bit later. And it's just a shame from that perspective, you know. There's little things in the theatrical cut that it's almost like Superman 4, where it's cosmetically things bother me more so, like that. And then there are decisions in which we'll get to in the commentary. There are decisions in that film where you think, why did they, like, well, he's tall, why did they change, you know, the line where he says, I didn't bring a sword from my turn, you know. You just think about, which we'll talk about in commentary, but I'm like, why did you change that? There's little things like that which I don't get, but we'll obviously get into that. So little things in that version bug me, and I think Ben Affleck, when he's doing the Whedon reshoots, looks like he just doesn't want to be there at all. And I think
My biggest problem with there's the lip at the beginning.
That's the worst of it as well, right?
It's
a great scene. So that's what bugs me so much.
But my biggest issue is more of Batman stuff than the rest of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, like someone definitely bleeding, that kind of line and stuff. And
yeah, that's where my
Superman is like.
On the whole, I enjoy Justice League for what it is. So at the end of the day, it's easy to watch. It's fun to watch, while acknowledging there's issues.
And the ending, the very ending is my favorite ending of any of the DC films.
And again, I'll just say this now, and then we'll move on. Aside from the mouth, this is the kind of Superman that I want, and I would expect after the third film in a trilogy. This is the Superman. So say all you want about Joss Whedon, but he gave me more of a Superman than I expected. Again, Henry Cavill's best turns of Superman for me are Man of Steel and whatever he did in the theatrical Justice League.
Just before we move on, Whedon's kind of in that, not quite that level, but he's kind of in that singer category now anyway, you kind of like, when you talk about him.
Well, again, he may be, look, he may be an ass.
That's the difference. He's not singer, but he's in that category of now.
He may be a jackass on set.
Yeah.
But then again, I've heard the same thing about Michael Bay.
Trey LaBeouf got through hell. Transformers. Yeah.
If you're telling me that, if you're gonna tell me that Joss Whedon is the only director to have extramarital affairs. Yeah, sing me a different song.
I wasn't about that. I wasn't about being a douche.
No. Sing me a different song about him having an extramarital affair.
I don't give a crap that he had an affair. My issue with Whedon and the other stuff, but again, I don't dislike him like I like singer now, where I think.
At the end of the day, he gave us a Superman that is more. And I don't want to say traditional because people take that to mean I just want to read, and that's not what I'm saying. Gave me a more Superman that I think is.
Yeah, but it's not just Reeve. It's been in the comics. Yeah, it's been in the cartoons.
It's more in tune with Superman's personality.
Yeah.
He gave me a more full-fledged Superman, and my issue is why do I have to wait 3 films to get that? I understand the first film, but when you take 2 steps backward in your second film, that's where my problems start to begin. So to me, if my ultimate takeaway is that had Joss Whedon been given the reins, you know, after BVS and the film had been delayed, and he had the whole time to work on it from script stage forward, I don't think we would have been having this Justice League BS and people having podcasts where it's like they're drinking themselves to smithereens because they can't handle the cut. Why did you even bother doing a comment and just don't do it? Like, to me, I don't know.
Do you know what I was doing? It's like 2 hours long. It's not like it's a long film, is it, Joe?
And that's a problem because apparently films that are 2 hours aren't good enough anymore. If it's 2 hours, it's some kind of downgrade. Why? Does every film need to be 4.5 hours?
Right then, Chu, move on to our movie review after that.
Yeah, let's do it. To an hour and 25-minute film, which was pretty damn good. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, yeah. So Batman Soul of the Dragon. So I haven't got my usual cast list and stuff. I've been a bit unprepared today. But yeah, what did you... PC Tullock's husband, didn't it, Batman?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Did a good job. So what, do we do non-spoiler thoughts first and then jump over to spoiler wall? So just a quick, what did you think of it?
Overall, I had a lot of fun with this movie and I loved it because I'm obviously, having done martial arts myself, I dig martial arts movies and television and content. And I just got the feel, like it felt like a Bruce Lee movie back in the day with Batman in it. And yeah, it's cool. And I liked the emphasis they gave to the other characters as well.
Yes, yes. That was really good. Shall I go then?
Yeah, go ahead.
And on spoiler. So I think what it did was it brought back a kind of film you don't get anymore, like those 70s. It was James Bond meets martial arts, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you put Bruce Lee in View to a Kill or something. Maybe not even View to a Kill, maybe that's too late. Something a bit further back. I just absolutely loved it. I remember when I watched it, and I don't think this is a spoiler, there isn't a ton of Batman in it. I kind of didn't. It didn't bother me.
Yeah.
I almost thought, like, there was one scene where he suited up, and I thought, well, if he doesn't suit up again, I'm not bothered because I'm so invested in these other characters. Yeah. And Bruce as a character himself. I'm just like, bring on. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Yeah. So, should we jump over the spoiler wall now?
Let's go for it. I think first thing I want to say is for all the people with their complaints of too much Batman, DC only cares about Batman. The reason why you put Batman in a film like this is to hook people and then put the spotlight on other characters. Because if they released this film minus Batman and just called it DC Soul of the Dragon, who would care? Who would buy this?
It'd be one of those ones where somebody'd have to watch it, take a chance on it, and then word of mouth would have to spread.
Yeah, but it's
the other way.
In the direct-to-TV, like home video market, when does the word of mouth like that ever work?
It just doesn't, does it?
So this is the benefit of putting Batman in it, is that, like, it hooked us in there. But then, like you know, there was a limited amount of Batman, but I wasn't bothered because I wanted to know more about Richard Dragon. I wanted to know more about Shiva. Was it Shiva, right? Yeah.
They live the Shiva, yeah.
And Bronze Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he was my favorite as well, Bronze Tiger.
Yeah. Again, Michael Jai White seems to be.
Yeah.
Didn't he play him in Arrow in live action?
Yeah.
And now he's doing him in animation.
It was such a good character to follow. And, you know, I think just to look at the scene where he beats up Bruce Wayne, I kind of like that scene because it's like he's kind of got a chip on his shoulder. It's funny because he calls Bruce White Rice because he offers him the white rice. Thought it was quite cool. But he beats the crap out of Bruce, and Bruce gets his respect because Bruce won't stay down. And I think he just thinks he's nuts, doesn't he? And he kind of likes it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh,
yeah. He goes, you're nuts, and I respect that. Yeah.
I really liked that. So, but you know the first Batman scene we got. That was a badass scene, man.
Oh, and him and Richard Dragon are fighting.
And I loved all the little funky computer stuff.
You know what's cool though too? The guys they were fighting in the hall there, in the banquet hall, whatever it was. They looked like characters out of Mortal Kombat, which was kind of cool.
I'm like,
this is a Batman versus Mortal Kombat crossover.
We know that Batman would win. So.
But the fact that
the lights go out.
Yeah, but I like how Bruce runs out, cool. And Richard Dragon's like, really? Like, come on.
Yeah, where are you going? Yeah. And then he kind of knows it's Bruce straight away as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, because the lights go out and it's vintage Batman, right?
But there's one line Richard Dragon said that I loved, and he said, they weren't, it's just something about how, like, you know, they weren't just scared of you because you could beat them, they were terrified of you because of the way you looked, and I thought, that's Batman.
That's the point of the suit.
Yeah, and I actually messaged, you know, Sam Liu, who hopefully will come on the show one day. I said to him, is this set in, like, Batman, like, year one and two? And he said he didn't want Shaw, but it was very early years Batman. And I get the feeling in this story, he's still kind of figuring Batman out, which I liked. Yeah, I've got one complaint, Adam. Where the hell was Alfred?
I was waiting for that. I'm like, come on, what the hell?
Bloody hell, I'm only joking. He didn't miss him at all. But I like Alfred, so it would have been nice to have him in there. But just that first scene about, and I'm almost like, when I watched it and as it was going on, I thought, if Batman doesn't show up again in this, I'm not bothered because it totally works without it. But what they do with Batman in this is really interesting that I think people have overlooked is Bruce is probably the weakest fighter of the entire lot of the group.
Oh, yeah, they definitely put the rest of the group over in
Batman. But Batman gives him something else. That's something else he needs. You know, they realize it at the end. Like, you know, when he's fighting and stuff, like he uses the cape in the fight and stuff.
So yeah, people, that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what have you got that they aren't? And he goes, like, a cape. And they start strangling it. But I think people kind of look at it and go, well, it's not really a Batman film. But in a way it is because it's Bruce's journey as Batman in this story. Because you see via the flashbacks is, he isn't the best fighter, he isn't the most skilled fighter, he isn't the strongest, he isn't the quickest, but this Batman element gives him that edge he needs to survive. So
I would say it's like a year, two and a half, is where I would... In my head,
I thought it was set between year... It was like set after year one, so it's like year one, year two, that's kind of what I like.
Yeah, so but, 2.5.
But I want a 70s Batman film now. I'm just like... With like the wall opens up with computers and stuff, I'm like, give me all that, please.
Oh, that was really cool.
Give me this in live action. This Michael J. White could play Bronze Tiger again.
Well, the interesting thing is too, what I liked about it was, you know, you mentioned the flashback.
Yeah. Well, there's a few.
And it's structured of going back and forth, present day. Like every time they got to recruit a character, it gives you Bruce's journey history with that character, which was a really cool way to frame it. I love that. And the first flashback, when you see Bruce climbing the mountain, you know, the big monster knocking on the door, I'm like, oh, this is giving me blood. Batman Begins flashback.
Yeah, when he got, give it to me. To begin.
I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. And also, when he goes to the monastery, I'm like, man, this reminds me of the David Carradine, the Kung Fu. Remember the original?
Yes.
I'm like, I love this.
Do you know when he pulled out the sword? I was thinking of those old, what the hell were them films called where they had the sword that like wobbled?
Yeah.
Because sword, and he totally took me back to that. I can't remember what they called them films now. I got those names from, I can't remember anyway, but I used to watch them on like late night TV. Yeah. They were fun movies, but the sword used to just bend like.
and I like how like they really go out of their way to make Lady Shiva.
Yes.
Like such a formidable fighter.
What, she fights that girl with one finger?
Like she's getting the sword. Or she fights the guy with the one finger. She takes him out.
Oh, it was the guy on it. Sorry, yeah, not the other. Yeah. It's the other girl that's giving her the lip, though, isn't it?
Yeah, she's giving her
what's
the lip.
So good about her.
But now the Soul Taker sword, isn't that katanas eventually?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So is it supposed to be the same sword?
That's what I thought. And like I loved the sensei.
Yes. Yeah. And, it was Lopan from Butcherbun Little China.
Yeah, but like his wit. Took the place of like where the Alfred comedy would come in, like his dry wit was like if Alfred was in this, that's where it would come. So I like that.
That's probably a good point. He was like the honorary Alfred one in this in this story.
Like I like the, and you know what scene was really actually pretty cool, the scene where they're punching the stones.
Yes. Yeah. And please won't stop. Yeah.
And their hands are like bleeding. Like you actually see it.
Yeah, it was clever that, yeah. Because like Bronze Tiger's like stuff this, you know. And Bruce just won't stop, which they do set up throughout the film that Bruce will not stop, and that's kinda what his strength is over the others. Yeah. He doesn't know when to stop, I suppose, in some respects as well. I thought one of the best... Sorry, you're still going.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought one of the best scenes was when Richard Dragon fought that guy with a blindfold and he kept throwing the stones. In fact, you know, it's not one of the action in this cartoon was one of the best I've ever seen in DC
animation. Yeah, the fight sequences were great. I mean...
They were brilliant.
Some of these fight sequences were better than you see in some of these live-action movies.
Yeah, totally agree with you, yeah. It was unbelievable, unbelievably good. But what did you think to like the villain, you know, with the whole, because that was kind of a bit, you know, he almost wasn't sure what kind of his deal was, and it was kind of a bit of a twist that he was this kid who'd kind of been brainwashed to be this leader, and he kind of thought he's obviously doing something bad, but for him, he thought it was something that he was born to do, and it was almost like he'd been manipulated, and I kind of felt sorry for him at the end.
Well, you do, but also, you know, what they say, A lot of the best villains, you know, consider themselves to be the heroes of their own story. And this one definitely falls into that category.
What did you think to the Felix Faust? Because that was kind of really unique, wasn't it? The way he was... Which he reminded me of something from, like, Indiana Jones. So they kind of almost dipped into the 80s with him a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And he's kind of had, like, snake arms and stuff. And it was kind of freaky. Yeah. It was cool, though. I liked it.
Yeah. It was definitely interesting, and they really, I think the success of the film is really capturing two things, the vintage martial arts movie, but also the era of the 70s.
Yeah, they get the grooviness done down, don't they?
you know how we kind of said that we wished more films. Like, so how Wonder Woman, you know, you expressed how you kind of wanted Wonder Woman 84 to lean into more of the 80s.
Yeah, it kind of didn't lean into it enough for me, but this did, into this, the 70s. Yeah,
this leaned into the 70s in the same way that Bumblebee leaned into the 80s.
Yes, that's a good comparison.
The 70s, right? So I think those two, they really nailed those two aspects of it. Again, along with it. Because for this film to work, that has to be on point, but also the fight scenes. And as we talked about, the fight scenes were great. My favorite was probably the one in Lady Shiva's Club.
That was good. Yeah.
That was probably the best one.
That was pretty good.
And yeah. I love how Lady Shiva, even though you said at this point in his career, Bruce is kind of the lesser fighter of the group. When Lady Shiva discovers that he's the Batman, she's kind of intimidated. And it's like, speaks to that, because she could, let's be honest, at the present rate of where he is in his fighting acumen, she could probably kick his
behind. Yeah, probably, yeah. But and she's also a crime lord, isn't she, at that point? And he hadn't confronted her yet, has he?
And he says, I'm building myself up to that. Yeah, but the fact that now, all of a sudden, she knows he's Batman, you can see that trepidation in her. Yeah, and it's the fear factor of the Batman persona.
Yeah.
So, even though Batman, they do a good job of knocking Bruce down a peg, but it's the Batman persona that builds him up for fighting.
I think my favorite fight was probably the one I mentioned with the stone. You know, the blindfold guy and Richard Dragon with the stones. I just thought it was so clever because he obviously he's kicking his ass and then he realizes that he's using the sound. He's almost like Daredevil in a way, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's seeing the sound, so he kind of starts throwing the stones. And
the other one of my favorite scene was the Batmobile car chase. Oh, wow.
Mm, yeah. Again, you need a Batmobile chase in a Batman film.
Batman Begins, I got Batman Begins vibes again. And it's like they had a Pattinson kind of Batmobile.
Which
was the Batmobile of the 70s. It was
basically,
that's what it was. So, I mean, anybody still bitching and moaning about the Batman's Batmobile being a muscle car? Hello? it's happened before. They don't all have to be tanks. So I love that. But yeah, and then, you know, the ending where the Sente comes back and he's the one that's possessed by the Ultimate Dog piece. I kind of wasn't expecting his return, to be honest with you.
I thought they would do that, and I knew it wasn't him as well. I knew it was the evil manipulating him. I kind of think that was the point where I kind of clicked that it was Richard Dragon's story.
Yeah.
Because it kind of starts with him and, you know, ends with him going into the... Because it's funny, because although Batman gets his solo moment taking on the evil, he's not the one who defeats it because he can't, because Richard is the chosen one, if you want to get
and I like how Bruce wants to make the sacrifice, but they all go in together, and that's how ends.
Yeah,
almost like it ends the way the Dark Knight trilogy ends, but better. So, the Dark Knight trilogy ends with this presumption that okay, in your mind, if this world continues, you know. Not Robin becomes Batman.
I saw it more like the ending of like Mortal Kombat or The Incredibles, where they kind of go in to face that next threat.
Yeah, and you don't see it, but the world continues. Yeah.
But I almost wondered, do you think they're going to do another one?
I'd love for them to do another one.
I would, because I absolutely loved it. Do you know what? I'm going to go as far as to say, of all the Batman animated films I've seen, in terms of this DC, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, like Mask of Phantasm and stuff, but just the ones in this work,
in this shared universe.
Since Superman Doomsday started, that kind of thing. I think Dark Knight Returns is my favorite, but I think this might be my second favorite because I just absolutely loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
This of is the probably, Batman ones, I mean. I'm gonna say it's top three.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Returns, Under the Red Hood, and then this.
Yeah, maybe I'll go with that, actually, yeah. What did you think to the animation, then? Were you happy with the animation?
Oh, I love the look of it. Like, it really felt like you're reading a 70s Batman comic. You know, it really homaged the Denny O'Neil era.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well, yeah.
And, by the way, nice tribute at the end there. So, yeah, I love the animation. It looked great. So now we have, you know, Man of Tomorrow and this, and I love that it's not 100% uniform, exactly the same with each movie. I love that each movie.
Yeah, that's what you want, though, don't you? You want that variety. Yeah.
It's tailoring its animation to the story they tell. Yeah, and
did you think the design of Batman in this then?
Oh, I love it because it's got the 70s Batman vibe, but the positioning of the years kind of gave like the also a nod, a bit of a nod to the classic, like 1938-39.
Did you not think the emblem was 66 as well?
Oh, absolutely. The yellow oval's back, and I'm like, oh yeah.
This would probably be my ideal Batman costume in live action if they did this one. This would probably be it.
Yeah.
And then what did you think to the score before we do final?
Yeah, again, like I said, it had that beautiful balance, much like the film, the story in general, of capturing that martial arts movie score with a 70s film score.
There was the Bond type moments, the groovy moments, as we'll call them, and then the martial art. It was a perfect combination.
Yeah.
And those factors you almost think shouldn't probably work together, but it totally does. So, any final thoughts before we do letter grades?
And by the way, the writer of this is the writer on the Flash comic starting in March.
Okay. In good hands then?
Indeed.
Yeah. Let's hope he comes back for a Tall and Dragon 2 then.
I think it's Jeremy Adams is his name.
Do you know what? I think you're absolutely spot on, because that name rings a bell, yeah. So final thoughts and letter grade?
I mean, I don't know how much more I could tell anybody that I love it.
Was there anything you didn't like, actually? Was there anything you thought maybe they could have done that a bit better or anything? Or...
You know what? There's nothing really that I would strike this film as a negative to me. Like, it just...
Damn, I can't think. Maybe Alfred not being in it.
Yeah, but that's a nitpick.
That's a nitpick, yeah, but...
I didn't get to see the Batcave, but big deal.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but almost like I didn't need those things.
Right, yeah, I see.
Like, they're nitpicks, they're not actual technical grievances with the film. Like, I thought the voice work was spot on, the story was great, the music, the animation, it all just combined into this perfect... Right. Like I say, I was really looking forward to this film, actually, because I liked that they were going to something different, but there was a part of me thinking, is it going to not quite work? But then when I watched it, I was like, everything...
Oh, no, it's flawless. It made me want to go back and search out some 70s Batman comics and just read them.
Yeah, I used to have a couple of Denny O'Neill ones. Or maybe was it Neil Adams, actually? Can't remember.
Well, Denny O'Neill.
Yeah, it must have been Denny O'Neill, because Rachel Ghoul. Yeah, it was Rachel Ghoul. I think that's what it was. I think it was Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go back and read some of those.
Yeah, I'll have to get some again, because I don't know what I did with those comics.
We'll do some retro Batman reviews.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Letter grades.
If I have to give it a letter grade, I'm going to say an A, because if it's third on my Batman animated movie list of the shared universe pile, and I put Dark Knight Returns and Red Hood 1 and 2, those are both A pluses, so this would be an A.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go for an A as well. I kind of want to give it an A plus, but then I'm thinking...
You can take away a letter or a symbol, the plus, for lack of Alfred. You can justify
that.
Yeah,
there you go, yeah, Alfred.
You can justify that.
A for Alfred.
Yeah, there you go, see?
The irony.
Now, I know this isn't the end of the podcast because we're going to talk Batwoman. But so I have to do it here. And I just want to make mention that Bruce Wayne and Silver St. Cloud are forever.
I forgot about that, man.
They're from their first breakup at the windowsill to their last. And there it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I forgot about that scene. The scene just mentioned it. But I was thinking, do they just break up? Is that what they do?
I guess, yeah. That's so perfect. Is it just me, or does Silver St. Cloud sound like a porn star name? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah.
Sounds a bit corny to me, but all right, it's cool.
Name.
Yeah. It's all good.
So, so moving on to Batwoman Season 2 premiere. So, obviously, the whatever happened to Kate Kane. So, we've got our new Batwoman, JBCL, isn't it?
According to certain reports, it's kind of... Anyway, no, we're not going to get into that.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, I get the feeling it was bad. I put it this way, I kind of thought I had reasons for why she left, and now I think I'm like, yeah, I know why she left, and it was not an amicable. I think they've portrayed it as an amicable breakup. I think it was.
Would you say she's borderline fired?
Yeah. Borderline, bloody hell. But you know, if you're Birds of Prey, if you squint, you can borderline see the connections to Suicide Squad.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, so Batwoman season 2 premiere, finally we got the CW TV back, DC. It was just it did.
You know, two things this week: seeing the Marvel logo, Studios logo on WandaVision, and then seeing the you know, the CW DC logo together. Oh, that warms my heart.
Feel back at home. Yeah, feels a bit more like a normal thing than it.
And then hockey came back, and I'm like, what is it? Aside from the fact that we can't go outside, yes, it's kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, but irony is, the public said, right, you can go out now, and you'll up and down it, but cold, and you'll think.
Nah, like, stay in.
So yeah, so what did you think to the season 2 premiere?
It was a really good start. I can I just say it, and this is no. I'm not slagging on Ruby Rose purposely.
I'll slag on Ruby Rose purposely.
But Javicia Leslie was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I mean, she has so much charisma. She brings life to the character, her character.
Which I don't think Ruby did. I think
she feels like a real human being. Yeah.
Ruby Rose for me felt like perfect. Somebody who was there. She didn't feel like she didn't command the screen. Like, you watch, like, we have our reservations about other shows like Supergirl and stuff, but Melissa Benoist commands the screen in that show. Yeah, she is the lead character. But, you know, Grant Gustin, he's Barry Allen on the flat. Yeah, he's the lead character.
Stephen
Amell, and so on and so on. In Batwoman, I don't think Ruby Rose did that at all. I think she got showed up by everyone. In fact, Dougray Scott, apparently, or is it Dougray? How do you pronounce his name? I believe him and Ruby Rose did not get on as well. And I'm kind of like, he's the seasoned pro. You know, you should be watching him.
Defer to him.
But I kind of feel like now the show has got its anchor. I feel like it's going to go to greater heights, because for me, that's what was holding the show back.
Yeah.
Like, Who did we see in season 1 was the standout Alice, wasn't it?
Rachel Skarsten, yeah. Yeah.
Every scene she was in.
Even Rachel Skarsten has more experience than Ruby Rose acting-wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. And again, it's not always about experience. Like, we go back to Tom Welling. We watched Smallville the other day. He clearly learned from guys like John Glover, John Schneider.
Yeah, he would take the advice, yeah.
Whereas, I don't think she would. That was the thing. Like, she was probably showing up late and stuff, and I think... Whereas Javicia, even the videos you've seen are off, she looks like she's like they're enjoying the time.
Yeah, she looks like she's having a ball.
You never used to see anything though, did you, with Ruby like that?
It's like she'd do promotion because she had to.
Yeah, but no, but you know, like she'd do like an Insta video or something where she's dancing. You wouldn't get anything like that.
No, it was just.
There was nothing, was there? It's like you need to think back now.
Ruby would do Instagram videos to promote whatever shoes she was pushing or.
I still wish they could have got back for an episode and kind of finish her arc off in a way. Because
but after hearing what we've heard, I wouldn't
want to
work
about that.
Yeah, period.
She didn't even get to read her own letter in the.
And you know what I really liked? The scene where Ryan is reading. Not Ryan, our friend and former co-host.
Ryan Wilder,
the character.
Javicia,
yeah. When she's reading the obituary and it's listing off all of Kate's qualities.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, at the same time, we're getting, you know, Mary listing off Ryan Wilder's, you know, rap sheet.
Yeah, and that was clever.
They're so contrasting, but their actual sort of the thing that brings them to Batwoman is the injustice, the death of their sibling or whatever, what have you. So they're different, but they have that one, you know, commonality. And I did like the flashbacks, like to the death of
Ryan. Which we were led to believe maybe Scarecrow, but wasn't, was...
Yeah, I think it was switched to Alice, because I think Scarecrow's main duty is going to be...
But I think it works.
It works. Yeah, it worked. Because it gives Ryan the connection and yes, the hatred she needs for Alice to make it work.
Because otherwise it's like, who's Alice to her? She's nobody and shit.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be there. Although, if you actually go back to the flashback, Alice is kind of not at fault for what happens because she's out the room and she comes in and is like, what the hell are you all doing?
Yeah, she's like, get out.
Yeah. So it wasn't, even though she kind of is at fault.
It was her gang, but it was, she didn't give the order.
I think there's going to be something there at the end of the season with where she's going to kind of forgive her.
God, is Rachel Skarsten great in this role? I mean, she's bloody crazy, but she's great.
Well, do you know, my favorite scene was when she told her father that
Kate that was the best acted scene of the whole show.
And he kind of, you see the penny drop for him, because that's why he doesn't end up arresting her or shooting her. Because he's kind of, the penny drops, doesn't it? And he's kind of like, how did...
Not the penny worth, just the penny.
I actually think in season one, it got to the point where he kind of should have figured it out, really. But I kind of like that the penny dropped, and then there was that great scene where he lights the bat signal and Batwoman doesn't come and he breaks down. And I thought, that's such a powerful scene that, you know, this guy's lost another daughter now. He's got nothing, has he? His wife died. His wife got killed in season one. You know, both his wives.
This poor guy can't catch a break.
He lost the daughter who turned crazy.
Actually.
And then he got...
So wait a minute, hold on. He lost the role of Wolverine to Hugh Jackman. Let's call that. Then he loses both his wives, both his daughters. This guy should be an Arkham guy here, for God's sake.
I think he's got a problem with Ryan because he knows Kate's Batwoman now.
And he's like, that's my daughter. Yeah, what are you doing with my daughter's role?
Yeah. Right. Which... I'm going to go out and have a go. Some people have been complaining and saying, how come she could just do something? Sue, they go out the way to show you. She's pressing the button and she shoots that guy in the leg and she's like, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, but it also says that she did karate. She's a karate person, so...
Yeah. I think people were, because she was pretty good with the grappling hooks and stuff.
But she wasn't that good. You saw her all...
Well, she's a bit later, but... But that's what I was saying. I went, they go out the way... What, do you want her to fail every time and just fall over and... It just can take it too far.
Like,
so
you can see the surprise of like, it's bulletproof. Cool.
Yeah. I love to shoot that guy at Lego. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. I didn't mean to do that. And then the part where she, where it's like they're looking for her because they hear the batter and they see the batter, and then she swoops down behind them and she's like, boo. It's almost like the Batman Begins scene where he's like, where are you? And he's like, here.
Yeah. That's what I think it was. I didn't want it. I really like the scene where Luke and, is it Mary?
Yeah,
they track her down and she's kind of like, I'll give you the suit back when I've killed. When I'm done. And I kind of liked that and I thought it was interesting because, in fact, she doesn't take the suit back at the end, does she? I don't think she leaves
the suit. Yeah, she gives the suit back.
Yeah. So she's obviously going to have to go back and get it, which in the next episode. But I liked that she kind of was almost, because she didn't end up killing Alice. She kind of realized it's not the right thing to do, didn't she? And I kind of liked that as well. Like, she kind of got there a bit quicker than most of them do, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
What did you think to Bruce Fane, we'll call him, because he's not the real Bruce Fane. I love that scene in the mansion.
Faney, instead of Bruce Faney, instead of Fimmy.
But do you get the feeling if Ruby had come back, this would have been a longer arc? It would have been
probably,
like 5 episodes or something. Because that's why
you can't
have an arc, can you? With
Warren Christie, that's the actor's name, right?
Yeah.
He makes I know it's fake Bruce
Mini Wayne, Fox,
but he makes a great Bruce Wayne.
He just
looks like freaking Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. But when he kept calling Luke Mini Fox, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he's taking full advantage of living the Bruce Wayne lifestyle. Like, you know, he's got two
women. When Alice kills that girl, he's like, a friend's upstairs as well.
Yeah. I like when he comes down the stairs and you see the picture, you know, the classic picture of the Waynes.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And then he got like, ugh, or something as he walks past the
stairs. Yeah, because And even his, when he's in the Batcave, like just like having a Bruce Wayne figure.
Yeah, you could almost not listen to what he's saying and just look at the image.
And like him touching grabbing the gadgets and like, oh man, I really want real Bruce Wayne to show up at some point.
So what did you think to the car being kind of hidden? I thought it was kind of cool because I feel like Bruce kind of shut up shop before he disappeared. It's kind of where I took it.
Yeah, it reminded me of Batman Forever when he's like, you know,
I don't quite know how we got the car out of there. I assume there was some sort of doohickey that opened up.
Trap door.
But I love the car, man.
So now we've gotten three pieces of Batman media. We've got Soul of the Dragon, Batwoman, and the Batman that have gone back to the sports car, muscle car. And I'm loving it. Like, don't get me wrong. The Tumbler was cool, and it grew on me. But I still have a hard time looking at that and saying,
I think the Tumbler works fine in those battles, but I think it belongs in those.
But spots. I still, my mouth, the words, the Batmobile, when I'm looking at that, they just don't come out. It's like, it's the
Tumbler. But to see the car, like, just, and Bruce, it won't Bruce, but I forgot my suit, all right? But I just liked that. I almost like that he's not overthinking, because I kind of get if Batman existed, why would he spend time making his car look bat-like?
We know that they trick it out with a But you'd want it to be stealthy. Like, if you're...
Don't want all Batman's coming down the street.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was so cool, and... so go on.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you know, if it wasn't for Luke taking over control of the car, like, there's no way she gets away from the Batmobile in the mystery.
No, she's screwed. Yeah.
This will be the mystery of that, you know.
Yeah. I'm almost like, where did she get the fuel?
Even has, like, the flame coming out. Like,
Oh, it was cool, man. I was like, I was almost like, Johnny Gasm.
Exactly.
So, do you know, just before we go into like the final bit where they have a fight, what did you actually think to the explanation for Kate disappearing and she was coming up from National City and stuff? And because it was funny to see someone put that meme on Twitter, Supergirl when Lena's in trouble or something, and she's Alex is in trouble and she's serving play, and it goes Supergirl when Ruby's in trouble and it's Supergirl just chilling out.
Yeah, I had a laugh at that,
but.
The explanation works. It's fine.
It kind of works that she might not be dead as well, because maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they'll bring her back for an episode or two, and it'll be a different actor now. And
what if eventually they might pull the recast button?
Think it's been a while. But what did you kind of think to her just finding the suit and taking it? I mean, I kind of get why she takes it, but you're almost a bit like, should you really just be taking this? But she kind of takes it for a reason, doesn't she?
Yeah. I was fine with it, and it makes sense that Ruby would have it with her, Kate would have it with her.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be underneath her clothes, it would be in a suitcase of them.
Did you kind of get the feeling like it was like, she was almost, I don't want to say Jason Todd, because Jason Todd was a douche, but you know, she's kind of got that, she almost...
The swagger, the attitude.
And it's like, but then when she puts the suit, she almost isn't confident, you know, in terms of taking on criminals. When she puts the suit on, it's like...
It's almost like even... It's a little bit of Tim Drake, because at first, remember, Tim Drake didn't feel wholly comfortable in the suit. So
well, my brain almost went to kind of that first Batman Beyond episode where Terry gets the suit. And
yeah, there's a bit of that too.
It's not kind of that good in it, but it kind of gets there and then...
Yeah.
And what did you think to her knocking Bruce Wayne's face off?
That was kind of cool.
That reminded me of Gotham, that when they punched Jerome. Was it Jeremiah or Jerome?
Two of them. So,
when he punched his face.
And that goes back to the Joker storyline in the comic where he had the face stapled on, right?
So what do you think to the Kryptonite bullet thing then, because it didn't...
Yeah, I'm confused by what's going on there. I hope it doesn't give her powers.
See, I don't get why people are going there, because why would it give her powers?
Yeah.
I've heard it a few... My thought is it's poisoning her, and maybe that was the point of... So it didn't go all the way through to kill her.
She'll have to go back to Luke or Mary
to get that
worked out, and then in the process be like, all right.
Because he was shocked it didn't go all the way through, wasn't he? But my thought was... Well, if it's poisoning her, then that would have been Bruce's, because if Bruce puts a failsafe in, he's not going to have a dodgy failsafe or something, is he?
Yeah,
he's going to do what he intends it to do. So that was my thought process.
Yeah, there. and we know that it's in Kryptonite has the ability to sort of,
well, like Lex Luthor,
in that respect, because of Lex Luthor, right? So, yeah, I think that's going to be the impetus that brings her back to Mary.
And then then something's going to happen, and she's going to put the suit on again.
Yeah. And interesting side, two interesting pieces of side note. One, in this universe, Alfred is still alive, living in London.
Yes. So I was like, yes, when I said that. Yeah.
So maybe there's a chance for Alfred to appear.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
And second of all, I got to say, your fictional daughter there, Alfred, is looking mighty fine. And
you stay away from her.
And she's on the list. I got to say that.
I like that. He went back to Arkham as well, did Tommy Elliot. Oh, they don't have a face, does it? Is a man without a face now?
She's on the list.
Yeah. So I don't think we've seen the last of Tommy Elliot.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah.
You know what? One of the things that kind of freaked me out is that Alice is kind of turning a bit Norman Bates and she's keeping Mouse.
That was creepy.
What the hell? Oh, what's that? Why did you bother killing him? It's like Bob in it, when you know when he kills Bob in Batman 89. You're kind of like, why does he kill Bob? What did Bob do?
Well, when I tell you, you're the right hand man, you're the number one.
Remember, my number one, I got it. But no, Alice is, I think she's completely gone there now. And then we've obviously got the tease for Sapphire, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. I like that we didn't see her yet. It was just a little build-up.
When this paper airplane came in, were you thinking, what's going on?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
So she blew up the plane?
Yeah, that's the inference.
However she did it. I don't know if it was a bazooka or if there was actually a bomb on the plane or what.
Yeah, probably a bomb on the plane is my guess.
So yeah, anything else to add before we...
No, I think we covered most of it. Yeah,
there was actually one thing I wanted to mention. I liked the scene where Ryan was saving the homeless guys. I say homeless guy. It was a homeless guy, was it? Or was he a guy from the plane? I assumed he was a homeless guy.
I think it might have been the guy from the plane, but yeah.
Can we make him into a hobo? He's got a bit
or a homeless guy, either one.
But I liked the scene where she was desperate to save his life because she couldn't save.
Yeah,
and I liked that parallel.
I love the way they use the flashbacks. Very well done.
Yeah, and I think the best thing now is because they've got that Kate Kane stuff's not out the way per se but they kind of wrapped up her bit. They can move on now, and then I'm sure they'll revisit it down the line. But it won't be the key focus because that was the key focus. The key focus episode was to get her in the suit and get what happened to Kate Kane. Even though we don't have any answers by the end, we just know a plane exploded. So that's pretty much it. So yeah, so what would you rate it out of 5 this episode?
Remember
letter grades for films, number ratings for TV shows and
countdown. I'm gonna give it a as a premiere episode, give it a solid 4.
Yeah, I was gonna go with 4 as well, yeah.
I wish they hadn't gotten rid of fake Bruce Wayne so quickly.
But I kind of get what I did because there's no story between him and Ryan, is there? Whereas there would have been between him and Kate. So I just hope even if he comes back in flashbacks with the real Bruce Wayne, just give me something.
Hey, maybe not this year because they want to establish Ryan. But if they ever do that crossover with Batwoman and Superman and Lois next year, maybe the real Bruce Wayne coming back to have a chat with Superman.
Okay. Where do you think he is? Just have a guess off the top of your head. I've got my guess, but...
I think... Knowing the trajectory of Bruce Wayne in these other media, probably Nanda Parbat is my...
Okay. Guess. And what do you think he's doing? Do you think he's...
Probably refocusing himself, because if he blames himself for... If the reason why he left is because he blames himself for his cousin's death, right?
Hmm.
Then
possibly. Maybe she wasn't dead, was she, when he was missing?
Remember, in this universe, there's an inference that he killed the Joker. So
he went dark, did what he should
have done. Maybe that's pushed him over the...
Yeah, that's a good point. That got almost like Batman Beyond, where he holds the gun to the criminal.
If it was my Bruce Wayne, he's off with Catwoman cavorting and God knows where, but that's just me.
But, you know, that's a good... I actually like your explanation, because it does remind me of Batman Beyond, where when he has to use the gun to save himself, that's when he's done, because he's like,
yeah,
I've gone too far, like I shouldn't... So killing the Joker would probably be him going too far. Because I was going to suggest maybe he's the new Ra's al Ghul, because in Superman Batman Generations, that's what happens to Bruce in that story. He goes to... He becomes the new Ra's al Ghul.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Because it's a world threat, then, isn't it?
But I think Arrow's covered the Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, but crisis happens.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see him necessarily going back there completely. But I kind of like the thought that he might be the new Demon's Head. That was a.
Because
I remember in Generations he obviously does. He takes over, realizing he doesn't have to do what Ra's did. He can be his own Ra's, and that's what he does. So. Yeah. So solid fours from both of us. I really enjoyed it. I think the show's going to be a lot better off with GVC in the lead. So look forward to next week and the rest of the weeks to come.
Yeah.
Do you know how many episodes it is?
I believe Batwoman has 20.
20. Because I get the feeling from what Matt Pedowitz said, Flash is going to be less than originally expected, for example. So I get the feeling they're going to want to just get the seasons wrapped up. Like, so I think Superman and Lois 13, I think it'll be 13 and done.
Which is fine.
Yeah. I think that's perfect.
Because it sounds like most of the stuff that's on the network right now is going to get a renewal because of the pandemic. You know, just to not have to shoot, you know, hundreds of new pilots or commission all these.
Yeah.
They're going to do a massive renewal, right?
Yeah.
Again, so.
Apart from the ones they've said are ending, yeah.
So if the status quo pretty much remains in place in terms of episode counts, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, same. Yeah, absolutely. Right, that's another episode in the bag.
Indeed.
I'll be back next week for more Batwoman.
More Batwoman, yeah, and we got another comic. We got a comics corner we're gonna do later this week. We're continuing the DC Future State coverage. The books that we want to cover anyway.
In fact, I'll just announce on this show, I am gonna be doing a couple of little like 10-minute solo videos and some stuff. So I'll let you discover them like everyone else. It'd be interesting for you. But it's gonna be me, kind of like if I was in charge of DC. The films and stuff, kind of the things I would have done or would do. So that's a little tease for you. So they're going to be coming up at some point. And then, of course, we talked today about doing a commentary on the 2017 Justice League movie before the new one comes out, which should be fun. So,
yeah, for sure.
Plenty of fun stuff on the way.
Lots of good stuff. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoyed this one. And if you want to continue the conversation with either of us, you can. Stephen, how can they get a hold of you on social media?
Yep, I'm on Twitter at SteveBob1984. Also, same handle on Instagram if you want to find me there as well. And the Twitter page for the multitude of podcasts and vidcasts that Adam's on is at MMNPDC.
Yeah, and if you want to find me on social media, it's at Adam_LeafsFan on Twitter. And then the Facebook page, the group page is in the description on this video, so click the link, subscribe to the page, and I will add you, and we can talk more Batwoman or Soul of the Dragon or anything else that you want to talk about that we cover on these podcasts and vidcasts there. But until next time, remember that Batwoman is forever from first person to put on the cowl to the last. So long, everybody.